Matthew 13 and verse number 13, Jesus is speaking, and he's in the context of the parable of the sower. Many of you know that parable. And they ask him why he spoke in parables. He said in verse 13, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And then verse 15, "This people's heart is waxed gross." That means thick. And of course, he's referring to, some translations will say, calloused. Calloused or insensitive, you know. A person's spirit can be of the same condition as somebody who has a callous on their hands, where it's thick and insensitive. But he said, "This people's heart is waxed gross," or thick, insensitive, "and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Converted means turn and walk in the light of what they hear. Amen. Notice that term in verse 13, and I want to pick up on this. We were on this on Wednesday night, because it applies to us as well as that day. I don't mean all of us are in this condition. I don't mean that, but maybe we have to guard against this condition. Or if we find ourselves in this condition, correct ourselves. But you see what he mentions here, especially verse 13, "hearing they hear not." In other words, you don't hear like God considers it important to hear just because you have ears. And maybe you have the ability to hear people talking. But he said that there is a condition that can happen to where people hear, but they don't hear. You've experienced that if you've raised children. You know, they heard you, but they didn't hear you. You know, and so, you know, just because it bounces off the eardrums doesn't equal hearing as far as in God's book. Or in God's way of hearing, you know, God's way of looking at hearing. So we want to talk about this and look at it a little bit more. Look at Mark chapter number 4, verse 21 through 25. Now, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation just for time's sake. I don't know if you have a device that has the New Living Translation. More and more, I'm starting to like the New Living Translation. It's a good translation. Miss Bonnie's waving. Do you like that one too? You like that one? But I've always enjoyed it, but more and more I've been noticing how good it is.
Amen.
But Mark 4, verse 21 through 25, New Living Translation. Jesus said, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed?" Well, of course not. It goes on to say, "A lamp is placed on a stand, where is a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light." Yes. Amen. Now, the King James says it very similarly, but I was meditating on this years ago one time, and that is, and then the Spirit of God said, "Lord, help me understand what he's saying here." And he said, basically, I'm saying, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not hiding your answers from you. I'm not hiding the revelation of my word from you. In other words, it's not on my side that you don't see or you don't hear. It's on your side that you don't see or you don't hear. Amen. And so everything, that there's nothing hidden except to be brought into the open and into the light. Anyone who had with ears to hear should listen and understand. See, that's what he's talking about, more than just hearing, actually listening. And understanding. Let's keep on reading. Then he said, verse, I don't have the verses written down here. He added, "Pay close attention to what you hear." Closer, the closer you listen, the closer you listen. In other words, you can listen without listening closely. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Now, go on, and it says, "To those who listen to my teaching," Jesus is speaking, "those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." Well, the way you get more is you continue to have ears to hear. You don't say, "Well, I've heard that before." Saying, "I heard that before," is not a listening ear.
That's right.
Amen. Well, we went ahead and started preaching already.
Yeah, right.
So those who are listening, even more will come.
Yeah.
Remember, King James says, to him that hath, more shall be given. Him that hath not, him even be taken that which he has.
Right.
And so your level of understanding, your level of revelation, your level of fellowship with God is never static.
Yeah.
It's either increasing or it's decreasing.
Yeah.
Your level of revelation is either increasing or decreasing. There's no such thing as a spiritual vacuum.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's important that we continue to have ears to hear. I've learned that over the years, people get accustomed to their pastor and they don't really hear anymore. They used to hear. But they don't. I'm not talking about you. I hope not. I don't know who I'm talking about. But Amplified Classic says, the Amplified Classic, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. This is verse 24. And more besides will be given. The measure of thought and study. It can't be that we hear a service on Sunday morning, hear the word on Sunday morning, and go away and forget about it.
Right. Come on.
We're to continue with thought and study. And research and dig into more and ask God for more understanding. Boy, that was helpful to me. I got some answers for my life. Lord, give me more understanding of that.
Amen.
We can't just go like, remember James 1 talks about, he that hears and goes and forgets what manner of man he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We can't be like that.
Right.
We can't let things slip. Because things can slip.
Yes, sir.
You can have further revelation or better hold on a spiritual truth at one point and then lose revelation. That's what he's talking about right here. So it's never static. Am I preaching all right? And so what you put into the Word of God determines what you get out of it. Or let's put it this way. What you put into what God speaks to you. He can speak from his Word, but he can also speak to you by his Spirit. Amen. And he can speak to churches by his Spirit. So it's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you put into it, it's what you get out of the Word. Your attention to what you hear and your honor for what you hear is the seed you plant to harvest a heart full of faith. Listen to me. But then faith becomes the seed you turn around and plant for a harvest of the power of God in manifestation to produce the blessing in your life that Word speaks of.
Yes.
Did you hear what I'm saying right there? Whatever attention and thought and study you give to what you hear determines what you get out of it. Some people get out of it just a little bit because they give a little bit of attention to it, a little bit of honor to it, a little bit of an ear to hear. You know, other people get more out of it because they stew on it all week long till the next service.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why some people leave the service happy and some leave mad. Some leave offended. Well, I didn't like what the preacher said. Well, did he say what the Word said?
Exactly.
Did you have an ear to hear what the Word said?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so many translations will talk about this attention part, and that's important. These translations are saying, I just quoted the New Living and the Amplified Classic, that the amount of blessing you receive out of what is preached or what is heard is determined by the amount of attention you give to it and how much of an ear you have to hear.
Right.
Anybody have ears to hear?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Amen. And so the amount of blessings is determined by us, not by God. The amount of faith we mix with the Word is determined by us. And it's mostly determined by the ears we have to hear.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You'll get what you believe for.
Yes.
But the revelation you get is what you have an ear to hear.
Right.
Remember Jesus said that he in Mark, Mark 6, many such parables, after some parables, many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it.
Yes.
Somebody say, well, why didn't God talk to me more? Well, how about the last thing he already said? Did you have ears to hear that?
Right.
Well, no, I never did anything with that.
Right.
Well, then you're stuck.
Yeah.
That's the limit of the revelation you're going to get.
Come on.
That's the limit of the blessing you're going to get out of that revelation. You know, there are people sitting here right now that have turned the word we preached here into becoming a millionaire. But there are others sitting here right now. I'm not trying to get mean on you. I'm just simply, we got to be honest about some of these things that have turned with the word into what we preach and struggled just like they have 25 years ago. He that hath ears to hear, that word will produce. That word has productive power in it.
Yes.
It has life-changing power in it.
Amen.
But you can't pay attention to culture. You have to pay attention to your Christian.
Come on.
You have to pay attention to who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Woo, glory be to God. So, but that's all related to the word. But I'm going to apply this principle today because of something the Lord said to me. We'll get to it. I'm going to apply this principle today of giving proper thought and study to what we hear concerning the vision that was communicated to this church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. From leadership. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it matters how we steward the vision that we heard.
Amen.
Amen. So you can hear the vision and stay caught up in your own plans, in your own world, and only be focused on your own blessings.
Right.
We thank God for the blessings that belong to us individually, and not properly hear what the Spirit's trying to say to the congregation.
Right.
What's my plan? God's, what's God's plan for the congregation?
Amen.
Amen. So we got to hear and listen.
Yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about that today. Listening is a skill you and I have to learn. Remember I said on Wednesday night, we don't know how to do this because we got born again.
Right.
We can bring old habits that we had out in the world into the things of God and hear, but not really hear.
Right.
You understand? There's a skill. Listening is a skill. We read 2 Timothy 3:17 in the Amplified Classic, so that a man, the man of God, the word of God is so that the man of God may be complete and proficient. And fitted for every good work. So there is a proficiency that we can gain in spiritual skills.
Yeah.
And we all are at different levels, and we can all grow and continue to get better at it. I'm getting better at walking in love. Anybody in here getting better at walking in love? Amen. I'm getting better at forgiving, not holding grudges. I'm getting better at walking in faith. I'm getting better at taking thoughts captive. I'm getting better at not worrying, and you can go on and on and on.
Yes, sir.
But I want to get better at this listening part.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So let's look at this a little bit more. You'll never become good at faith if you're never good at listening.
All right.
Because faith comes by hearing, but not just by hearing it bounce off your eardrums.
Yeah,
actually hearing in your heart.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. And so the vision God has given us. Now, there's so much more to it than I'm going to talk about today, but I'm going to talk about a portion of it today, is this given this congregation and actually counted us as a congregation worthy of stewarding such a vision, and that is to plant a second church.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's an amazing stewardship that he's given to us. Hallelujah. Not everybody gets to do that. You know, there's several things I want to say about it, but for example, the Lord spoke to me some things, and maybe I'll get into this more later, but the Lord spoke to me some things about be careful how you, he didn't use the word careful, but pay attention, I think he said, how you follow me and the accuracy that you follow me with concerning this church plant. He said, because not only are you carrying out my plan for your life and so forth, but you're making footsteps for others who have a similar call on their life, and they're going to watch you and see how you're doing this.
Right.
You're an example. I want to make you an example of some things, because we need to be planting churches.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be planting churches. I'm a church planter.
Amen.
If you didn't know that, then now you do. So, so he said to me that, and you know, we've had, I just 2 weeks ago, was it, or two, 3 weeks ago, I was on the phone with a young minister for, I think it was a little over an hour. He wanted to know some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more I talked to him, the more I realized, you know, this whole thing, we would not be able to do it without the support of the congregation.
Amen.
It just hit me. I'm like, I'd share this with him and I say, oh yeah, but you don't have that because you don't have you're starting a church plant. This is the first one you've ever started. You don't have a church his home pastor supports him, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the main mission of that church.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'm like, oh yeah, but see, God has led us that way and the Spirit of Faith Cedar Rapids supports that. And so that's why we're able to do that.
Yes. Amen.
And it just hit me, I mean, all over again. It's because of the church here supporting that.
Amen.
Amen. Not only financially, but with their faith. I mean, traveling down there with their finances, with their time, with their attendance here when we're gone. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so that's been the vision. I didn't ask for that. In fact, I tried to talk God out of it. In fact, it was bothered. The devil was jumping on my head so much about it. And my flesh and my mind were ganging up on me so much about it, struggling with it, that at one point I actually said to the Lord, I said, Lord, that's it. I'm just not doing it. I'm backing out. I'm going to say it to everybody, I'm not doing it. This is before we started. I said, not doing it. Just too much. I'm struggling too much with this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just something. And he said, yeah, because you're going in another phase. You remember what you went through that first phase into the second phase? He said, now you're going in another phase.
Yeah.
I said, I remember that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I'm more skilled now than I used to be. But here's the thing. When I said, Lord, that's it. I'm not going to do it. Something. I'm in prayer. And something lifted off of me just as tangibly as if I had let's say you have an overcoat over your shoulders, don't have your arms in or something. Just as tangibly as if I walked behind you and took that overcoat off of you. You'd feel that, right?
Yeah.
Just as tangibly as that, something, when I said, Lord, that's it. I'm not doing it. Something just as tangible as that lifted off of me. And I felt like I was back under an old anointing that I had, that I didn't appreciate as much because of this greater anointing. I didn't even realize there was a greater anointing on me. And it left me. And I started weeping. I said, I grieved the Holy Ghost. Lord, forgive me. And I started repenting. I got down on my knees and I repented. And it came back. I was like, I'm so glad that came back. I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's always a blessing in following the plan of God. There's always a blessing in being able to hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because I was basically saying, I just can't receive that.
Yeah.
I just get too many things. My mind is struggling. And one of the things was, is this congregation going to support that? Primarily because of the pulpit schedule. Y'all still glad you came this morning?
Yeah.
We're just going to have a little family talk this morning. I said, Lord, I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling. He said to me, whenever that anointing lifted off of me and then I repented and it came back, he said, you see that there's an anointing on you to do this. Cause I had asked him earlier, why didn't you let me start? I wanted to start a church whenever the Lord said from phase one into phase two, that he wanted us to pastor. I said, okay, Lord, I want to start a church. I don't want to take one over. He said, you leave that up to me. He wouldn't let me start a church.
Right.
And now he's wanting me to start a church. I said, what changed? He said, the anointing wasn't on you back then to start a church. Now you have the anointing on that and it's an apostolic work.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen. And he said, I want you to do this now. You're more ready for it. You're more equipped for it. You got the ability to endure more in faith. Because starting a church isn't for wusses. Maybe I shouldn't say that. You're maybe teaching your children not to say that. So,
amen.
But for wimps. Amen. You gotta have some spizzerinkdom to your faith. But then later, whenever the aircraft came in, paid in full, thank you very much, Jesus, he said to me, I would not have been able to do that if you had not followed through and been faithful with my plan to start this church. And you want to know something else he just told me last night? Because I've been believing for the payoff of this building and to get into another building here in Cedar Rapids. And he put it in my heart. I don't mean he spoke it to me, but I just sensed in my spirit. I'll talk about it more in a minute. But that is connected to our faithfulness as a congregation to keep on stewarding the vision. Oh, Jesus. He has been talking to me about it all morning. I got up this morning at 5 a.m., eyes wide open. He started talking to me about it again. Glory to God. But when I say faithfulness, I'm not just talking about me and Pastor Debbie and a few on the staff or leadership team or that travel down there. I'm talking about everybody. Can I just have a little family time with you? I've noticed a pattern over since March. Whenever we're not here, about 20% of you don't come. About 20% of you, we're falling into a pattern. That's not called having ears to hear the vision. That's being caught up in your own little preferences. We're going to steward this thing. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be counted faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we have ears to hear. Say, we have ears to hear.
We have ears to hear.
The visions presented by the leadership. That wasn't my plan. Somebody said, well, you're just trying to get people to follow your plan. I told you I didn't want to do it. How much more plan do I need to make that I didn't want to do it? I had a comfortable little life.
Come on now.
Amen. Poor listeners are poor followers of a vision. Amen. While I was meditating on this, some of the things I started noticing, what I just mentioned about attendance here, some of the things I started noticing, I'm not mad at anybody or offended at anybody. Amen. I just have a warning in my spirit. And I kept saying, Lord, why is that bothering me? Why is that bothering me? And he kept bringing up, in my spirit, I didn't even turn to look at it. He kept bringing up what it says in Luke 19. And so let's go over there and look at this. Luke 19. Now, this is going to be a little bold, a little strong. But it's not because anybody's mad or offended. It's just that I have a sense that we need to maybe judge ourselves in some things. Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. Look at this very carefully. Luke 19, 41 through 44. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, underline that, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Underline that, the things which belong to thy peace. If you look at the Amplified Classic, it says, freedom from all the, for peace, you know, freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin and upon which your peace and your security, safety, prosperity, and happiness depends. Wow. So if you had known what all the good things of God depended on in your life,
right.
He said, if you had known, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, keep thee in on every side. This happened about 40 years. Really, it's probably about, depending on exact, I don't know if they know exact dates, but probably about 37 to 40 years later, this actually happened. Jesus prophesied it here, what would happen to Jerusalem. They'll keep thee in on every side. They'll cast a trench about thee, compass thee around, keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee. And there shall not, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Now here's why. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You didn't notice up there the things if you had known. If you had known. In other words, the fullness of God's blessings are connected to us hearing, listening, and responding right. If you read Luke 13:34, which we won't go over there, remember, that's where he said, how often, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather thee together as hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And then he says, so it's not going to go well, not because I'm trying to punish you or mad at you, but just because here's where the blessings are in my plan.
Come on. Right.
And Jerusalem, if they had received Jesus, according to what he's saying here, if they had received Jesus, they would not have been destroyed by the Romans.
Yes. Amen.
It was connected to how they responded to the plan. So I'm not predicting destruction. I'm just simply saying it doesn't go well when we miss God's plan. Does that make any sense? So I was meditating on that, and the Lord kept bringing that back to me, and he said, that's why this is bothering you. this here about the support in the local, in the church here, because you know, it's gonna turn out bad. We have to get a hold of ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody say, how long is this going to go? I don't know. I'd like it to be tomorrow where God says, okay, turn that over to somebody.
Yeah.
I vote for that.
Yeah.
But see, I don't get to do what I want to do.
Right.
I already told you I'm already doing what I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
I'm willing now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just.
Yes,
you know what the Lord said to me? He said, there's grace on this congregation if they'll tap into it. Let me tell you why. I've been at the throne of grace.
Amen. Amen.
Obtaining grace and mercy for you. But you got to tap into it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor's happy today. Woo, let's kick and shout a little bit. Praise the Lord. Well, see, those that are led of the Spirit stay ahead of these kinds of things. Way ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it sounds dramatic this morning, a little bit strong this morning. But it's not done out of a heart of anger or offense. I want you to hear that. It's done out of a heart of compassion and longing. I love this congregation. I love this city. God needs to have a place here. He wants a place here. He told me this is my best opportunity in this region for a long time. I don't know, whatever people get mad at that. That's their business. I don't care. Take it up with the head of the church. Amen. I've been before God saying, Lord, am I missing something?
Right.
I'm open to miss it. If I find out I missed it, I'll say I missed it. Yeah. I mean, I've been before God so much about that that finally he said, stop it. Get up there. I told you what to do.
Come on.
It's like, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, but you've been making sure for the last 13 months. Everybody's to hear my heart this morning. I'm saying this out of compassion.
Yeah.
Not judgment, out of compassion.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, I just had a sense we needed to hear this morning.
Amen.
And I believe maybe just some of us need to judge ourselves.
Amen.
About some of this.
Yes.
Praise God. The Lord said to me, because I needed to hear from him regarding this congregation supporting it. And I was getting snagged by that. This is all before we started the church, the Kansas City church. And I said, Lord, I need to know this. He said, because the word has gotten into them, they'll support it.
Amen.
But that's not a static thing.
Come on.
So those who don't attend when I'm not here, they show me the word's not really in them yet. They also are saying, I don't agree. Well, you're going to have to do like me and give up your opinions and your plans, because I've got to walk in this higher office.
Yes, amen. Yes, you do.
Pastor, you're being bolder than usual. I know.
Yes.
And right after the service, I'm going to go, Lord, did I say anything wrong?
No, you did.
This morning I asked him, now, Lord, is it okay if I go a different direction this morning other than this? And he got, I can just feel inside. Okay. I said, is there anything I shouldn't say about their attendance or anything? He said, you say what I give you unction to say. Praise the Lord. So I'm making sure I'm staying right where I need to be. But let's have ears to hear. What do you say? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 2. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 2. Oh, this is going to get good. You're going to like this. And it shall come to pass if, there's a big word, that's one of the biggest words in the whole verse. If, you might want to underline that, thou shalt, not if I shall, but if thou shalt, hearken diligently. There it is again. Listen. Unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all. I said to you Wednesday night, the Hebrew, I did a long study on this, the Hebrew has no concept of hearing without responding and doing. In other words, it's not hearing. To God, it's not hearing if we don't respond and do.
Yeah.
Like your children, you don't consider them having listened to you if you say, go clean your room, and half hour later, they're over here playing video games. They haven't gone and cleaned their room. They heard your voice bounce off of their ears. Any parents, can you testify? They heard your voice bounce off their ears, but they didn't listen.
Right.
In God's book, that's not listening or hearing at all.
Right.
If you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, observe to do according to all his commandments, which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Ooh, we like that. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now here's the if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God wants you and I to occupy a high and lofty place in life.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, lofty in fellowship with him, lofty in walking in revelation, lofty in influence in ministry, if you're in the ministry, the lofty blessings of God financially, just wonderful high place of life. But none of this is automatic. Does that make any sense? Just because God wills it. He's saying in this two verses that there's an if there attached to it. If God? No, if we. If we. Do what? Listen and follow and walk in the light of what I say. Amen? See, what that does is it is us opening the door to what he has available to us. Hallelujah. God takes us into all that he has, especially the best that he has, through our responses to him.
Yes.
Don't let that get away from you. He doesn't just do it without our cooperation. He does it through our response. In other words, towards him, towards obedience, not a response of disobedience, but our response in the direction of what he says. As we do that, he's able to bring the best that he has.
Yes.
I've never, let me say it this way, throughout the years, my experience has been, I said this to Pastor Nancy, is it okay for me to say this is the way the word says it? She said, well, do you have scripture for it? I said, I don't. Well, back then when I said that, I didn't. Now I do, because of a good conversation with the Lord last night and this morning. I said to Pastor Nancy, and I've said this, my experience has been, and she said, that's a good way to say it, your experience has been, unless you got the word for it. But my experience have been, when it comes to financial blessings, the biggest ones have not become because I believe I receive, so forth. They come not because of my faith, but because of my faithfulness to the plan.
Yes, that's
specifically as it goes through its phases and I finish a phase. When we got our house in Coralville, down here in Coralville, Iowa, when we first got here, when we first got here, we lived in a rental for whatever, how many years. But then the Lord spoke to us and said, I have a house for you. And so we found it, and it was actually better than we planned to buy.
Yeah, right.
Much better than we planned to buy.
Yeah.
And then he spoke to me and said, this is a reward off your obedience in phase one.
Amen.
Maybe I've heard somebody say that, but I don't know where. That's a new thing, a new concept to me.
Yeah.
And then we finished that phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord said, I have a reward for you for finishing phase two.
Yes. Yeah.
He said, the way he said to me, you succeeded in phase two.
Yes.
Now, I haven't had the liberty of explaining some of this.
All right,
amen. If we have ears to hear, we'll get
yes,
to
sir.
It.
Yes, amen.
But, and he said, there's a reward. Then he said, what it is this land. We own 50 acres of rolling woodland that has multiplied I think the value of it based on comps and sale of land around it is probably multiplied in about four times the value of what we paid for it.
Amen.
We got a really good deal. That helped.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then he spoke to me about the house. I wasn't even thinking about it. See, he's renewing my mind by walking me through this. And finally I said, Lord, you're going to have to show that. And he's begun to show it to me in the word. But I said, Lord, is it time for us to build our house? Because we could go a different route for a while and then build a house. And he said, no, the house is Pastor Debbie's reward for some obedience in her life. Whoa, I'm so glad I married her. Heirs together is better than without the other. Sister.
Yes.
Hallelujah. heirs together is better.
Yes, amen. Yes, it is.
I inherit my part, she inherits her part.
Yes.
Yes. Well, look at Jesus. Some of you don't even quite get what I'm talking about. Get ears to hear this. This isn't just for us. I know I'm God's favorite, but this isn't just for us. I'm not. You know what I mean. I'm just joking. But you got to believe that about your own life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So listen to me very carefully. The biggest blessings of our financial lives have been because you did what I told you to do. Even when we got into the aircraft, he said, I wouldn't have been able to do that if you had not obeyed me and started that church.
Yes.
I'm like, Jesus, what else do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Go to China? You want me to be a missionary? Oh, yeah, Jesus, I'll do whatever you want. Because there's a reward connected to that. And really where it is in Mark chapter number 10.
Yeah.
If you leave houses and lands, mothers, fathers, my sake in the Gospels, you'll receive 100-fold now and this time. He's not talking about 100-fold off of an offering into an offering plate.
Right.
He's talking about the offering of your entire life.
Yes.
My life is on the altar of the plan of God.
Amen. That's so good.
Notice he said, leave mothers, fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters for my sake and the gospel's. He's talking about doing what the gospel, what God's plan is for you in spreading the gospel.
Amen.
His plan for your life.
Yes.
Particularly talking about ministers, but it wouldn't be limited to ministers. Hundredfold, that's full potential. Hundredfold means full potential. You know why he said it's full? You know why you get a full potential out of that? Because you cannot give a bigger seed than your whole life. You could give millions of dollars and it's still not your whole life. If you don't like it, give it back. I'm taking it home and going to the bank with it. No, we don't serve for money, but it sure is connected to obedience, and we need to learn to receive it. But that's not just true for us personally, it's true for this congregation.
That's right.
Amen. Woo! Ha! Yeah. So the biggest blessings. Hallelujah. So if thoughts are bombarding you about this phase, what's happening? Where's this going? Where's it going to end up?
Come on.
Well, if you tell me, we'll both know.
Yeah.
I'm walking by faith in this.
Yes,
amen. So if bomb thoughts, am I helping you this morning?
Yes.
No, I'm not. The word is. God's helping us. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
If I have understanding if things are coming against your mind. I have compassion because it came against me. If it's going to come against me, it's going to come against you. So I'm not hitting anybody. I'm not, hurting, being mean on anybody. I'm saying this out of compassion. There's a blessing connected to staying faithful to this plan.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Let's tap into it. What do you say? And that means whenever we don't want to come because certain services, maybe we're not here. We get ourselves out of bed. And we say, it's not about me anymore, because me growing up. Whenever a child is born into your family, for a while, it's all about them. But when they get to be older, hey, there's a whole family here that you can help clean the house for. And, it's about more than you now, because you're growing up. And that's what Spirit of Faith has been entrusted with. More responsibility, stewarding of a bigger plan in the kingdom of God, because apparently we're growing up.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, apparently. God must believe in us. Hallelujah. If he believes in us, I believe in you. Praise the Lord. Oh man, this is just blessing me. I could speak in tongues and shout and dance and roll on the floor. This principle is true for a whole church, not just one individual. There are phases to church development. There are phases to progression in the plan of God for a church. Well, we want this and this because other churches have it. We're not following other churches. We're following the plan of God for us.
Amen.
There's a whole realm of blessings that we won't get into, even for our own church here, if we don't use our faith to follow the plan.
Yeah.
Amen. Like I said, I have a sense that the Holy Ghost just gets on me even saying it, that there's a blessing of a paid off flow and another building for this congregation, but it's connected to how we respond to sowing this seed. I've been praying for a long time, a year plus. Lord, which one's first, the building in Kansas City or the building here? And you know what he said to me just recently? The building here. But how long that takes, I think, is determined by our response to this seed we're sowing.
Yes.
We can sow it grudgingly.
Yeah.
You know, every time you show up, you're sowing a seed towards that church plant. Because you're keeping the base strong to help plant that church. Hallelujah. So we have to perceive, you remember there what it said in Luke's gospel, we have to perceive how important certain things are to God. Sometimes people look at the natural and they think, well, that's not important. You have to perceive what is important. The natural mind won't tell you what's important. But you have to perceive what's important.
Yes.
Because people miss great blessings in God because they don't recognize to God what God said and listen carefully enough to what he said to walk it out.
Yes, come on.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to make it as important as the Lord makes it.
Yes.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Hallelujah. God wants to do something even more for this congregation than that. Because of what I said earlier about how God said to me, be very attentive to how you follow me in this, because you're making footsteps. Actually, he said to me, you're opening a door that others are going to be going through into church planting.
Yes.
I have many friends who have spoken to me and said, I have the same thing you're doing in my heart. Just that we're on a different timeline. Maybe it's time for us, and maybe God hasn't led them, and it's time for them yet. And that's fine. You know, all of us are on the schedule, whatever God's got us on. But right on the other hand, they've all said, we're watching. All of them said that. We're watching. And some of them call me. I like the way, tell me how you did that. And I would tell them, they said, oh, that helps me. That helps. I got the same thing in my heart. Hallelujah. But so God wants to make you as well, because you're a part of this, right?
Yes.
Make you an illustration to many others who have similar calls to plant churches. Every era has to plant churches. The Methodists, that movement, had to plant churches. Right? The Pentecostals came out of Azusa Street. They planted churches everywhere they went. Word of Faith planted churches everywhere they went. This era, we got to plant churches. Hallelujah. We've got to pay close attention to how we carry this out. Now, folks have to know that and recognize that and know what's on this ministry and the call that's on this ministry and be a part of that.
Yes.
You're connected to this.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. How you respond determines if we get through this door. Now listen. And it also determines whether we're able to help others who have a similar call in the last days get through this same door. Church planting door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we sleep in on Sunday morning, are we setting an example that is right for other congregations in the body of Christ? Growing up means becoming an example. Amen. Ask yourself this question. If everybody in the church had the same standard I have about things, would the church flourish? Thank you, Jesus. Remember what Dr. Dufresne prophesied? I think you remember. Some of you might have been in another city close by here. But he said that people are going to come all over the world to your church to see how you do things.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, is our response going to be of the caliber that it's worthy of the whole world following?
Come on.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's a little uncomfortable, I know. I'm not trying to be nasty. I just have the sense to just warn, just give a warning. Hallelujah. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. Now, the greatest reward for following God's plan is not what you get. We talked about the rewards financially. But it's the greatest rewards are not what you get, but who he makes you to be.
Yes.
And who you become in the body, where others appreciate you.
Yes.
And value your life. And it means something to you, to them, that you're in their life. God wants to do that for this congregation. It means something to the bigger body that we're in the body.
Amen.
Because we're setting an example.
Yes.
We're reaching and we're showing how God's plan can come to pass. Not everybody has it in their heart to plant churches. I'm not saying everybody does. But those who do. I mean, I'm in a company of a lot of people who do.
Yes,
people in this company have a spirit of faith.
Yeah.
They're raising up ministers, planting churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot more in their heart to do it. Hallelujah. And so we want to be people that others in the body appreciate, that we are out there pioneering and setting the pace and showing and demonstrating how God's doing it through our life. That doesn't mean everybody's supposed to do what we're doing or the way we do it. In fact, many pastors, I tell them, I think 100% of them that have come to me, I've said, now, unless God tells you to do it the way we do it, do not do it the way we're doing it. Because at the first, I didn't even agree with the way God told me to do it. I asked Pastor Nancy about it, and just hoping, just wishing she was going to shoot my plan through what I thought God said to me, was going to shoot it full of holes. Please, Pastor Nancy, please, just shoot it full of holes. Here, and I'll even give you the AR to do it. I'll just... Seriously, you think I'm kidding. I am serious as lunch this afternoon. And I'm serious about eating my lunch. So I tell them, don't do it the way we're doing it unless God tells you to. Get you a spiritual son and plant you those churches. And you say, bless you, hallelujah, here's an offering. I'm staying home preaching in my home church. Do it that way, Pastor. Do it that way unless God tells you to. I have submitted this to many ministers. Five different ministers that I respect have confirmed that the Holy Ghost is in this.
Yeah. Amen.
And every one of them I said, forget you. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I seriously was looking for a way out. Have I made it plain? So I understand if thoughts are coming against you because they came against me. But you got to settle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You say, Pastor, we love you.
We love you.
But that can't take the place of listening.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You can love and not listen.
Yes, sir.
You can love and I don't know if I agree. Amen. It takes more than love to carry out a heavenly vision.
Yes.
It takes some divine agreement and divine say, we hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
And we will cast down everything that opposes it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is going to be a landmark service in this church right here. Hallelujah. So we're given a great honor. This is a great honor. Not every church has the kind of faith, I guess I might say, to do this. So let's prove to God he was right in counting us worthy of this. Does that make sense? And so we want to listen to God. Now, go with me. Well, let me illustrate. Well, let's see here. What time we got? 15 minutes. Let me illustrate it this way. This is just an example. I'm not talking about staff or anything. I'm just using this as an example. There are some on staff that are in positions that are more important than others. I don't mean we love them more than others. I mean it's more strategic that they are right.
Yes.
In that position.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes certain positions get more correction than others.
Uh-huh.
You ever notice Peter and John, especially Peter? Peter, oh my goodness, he got corrected over and over again.
Yeah.
Jesus said, Peter, What are you? Put your sword up. But I mean, Peter, shut up, Peter. He gets up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's build three tabernacles. Peter, shut up. The cloud, voice out of the cloud. Here, this is my son. Hear him. In other words, shut up, Peter. Yeah. We're not listening to you right now. We're hearing God.
Yeah.
Corrected all the time.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? Now, all of them got corrected, but the scriptures highlight Peter getting corrected more than any of them because of the position he was going to hold when Jesus left. So he had to be able to buck up and take some strong words sometimes. Does that make any sense? Praise the Lord. So positions have to handle. They're responsible for more. They're responsible to listen more. To get better at listening. Listen very carefully. Y'all ready to go all the way through this? And so those in those positions can't be dismissive of leadership's voice. I'm not talking about, I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm going to get into what I mean by this. And so there are certain positions that if they can't hear, in other words, they're giving a rebuttal or their enthusiasm will almost cut you off and finish your sentence for you rather than hear what you actually had to say. Assuming you were going to go this direction, but you really weren't. They were just enthusiastic. They got to develop a better skill of hearing because of a different position.
Yes.
And I will cut off staff who interrupt me. And stop. I will not stop talking. I would say, listen, listen, listen. I'm not done yet. Listen. And I'll just cut them off. Somebody said, is that appropriate? For leadership to do it to staff, yes. For staff to do it to leadership, no. Just like in your house. Your children, it's not appropriate for you to cut them off, for them to cut you off, but it's appropriate for you to cut them off.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Because of the structure of authority.
Yes.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. So when somebody's dismissive, in certain positions, dismissive of leadership's voice, then that's a serious issue. It won't work in that position. It has to be addressed or that person will have to be removed.
All right now.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't retain a position without being able to listen.
Amen.
So you can do the wrong thing in the right position. You might be where God puts you, but do the wrong thing and disqualify yourself. If you don't believe that, ask Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They were exactly where they're supposed to be, but they did the wrong thing in the right place. Amen. We tell staff when we bring them on, you are going to now be a target. All of them, especially the more recent ones, when we finally made it a policy, this is just what we say to them. You're going to be a target. You're going to experience things on the level of not where you have been, but on the level of what opposes this ministry now. And if he can't get to us, he'll get to the weakest one closest to us and try to harass us through that weak one. And if you're going to be close, you have to be ready to shut down the enemy trying to use you in this ministry. You have to stay in fellowship with God. You got to stay out of the world's junk out there. Listening to wrong voices.
Amen.
And in those positions, we're going to deal with you stronger than we would maybe a door usher or a greeter or something. Amen. It's important. You know, off the charts important. So, developing the skill of listening is critical to being able to remain in your position. It can save your life.
Yes.
I'm not blowing smoke when I say that. I can't, I'm not at liberty to, but I right now know of somebody's life who has been spared because they listened. They almost didn't listen. But that's another story. Amen. Not listening is a bad habit. Given rebuttals, you know, so forth and so on. Sometimes it's like a blind spot for people. You got to kind of shake them. So when they're not listening, they're dismissing what's being said. And so they can't really flow in unity with the direction of the ministry because that's what they're working for. They're working for the ministry in their own lives, whatever, you know. but in the on staff and in leadership, under the leadership, you can't be dismissive and stay in unity. People like that will start causing problems. In order to protect the anointing, if they can't make that adjustment, then they have to be removed just to protect the anointing.
Amen.
Amen. So shuffling has to happen sometimes. What was the problem? They wouldn't listen.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to have somebody close to me that irritates my spirit. Because
yeah.
They just don't hear what we're saying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you've ever run a business or had any kind of leadership over something, there are just certain people that, bring them all the way up and make them next to vice president or something, because, they're with us. They listen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So some people get trained more firmly. I take the approach sometimes, let's find out with staff, let's find out now if you can't handle this. And I don't have time to coddle you in conversations. I certainly don't have time to counsel you through all the little issues of your life. You're not here for me to counsel you, you're here to work for the ministry. Amen. Listen to what the word says and put your life together. Oh, that's strong, Pastor. I'm talking about certain positions.
Yes,
I don't treat baby Christians that way.
Right.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why am I saying all this? Because I'm talking to staff? Well, it'll help the staff, but it's really to give you an illustration of what God is entrusting, the position God's entrusting this congregation to.
Yes.
That position has to be people, makes us have to be people of listening.
Yes.
Listening to what the leadership, the vision the leadership's giving, and responding correctly to it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be able to do this.
Yes.
But it requires responsibility. It requires us to have ears to hear. And whenever we want to roll over and not come to bed because pastor's not preaching here in town, we suck it up and say, it's not about what I feel like anymore.
Right.
We've been entrusted with a great stewardship of a plan. Let's get it up. Let's get it done.
Yes.
I'm going to come bring my supply.
Amen.
Even if my supply is an amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And a smile at somebody. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Don't give a rebuttal to the vision, so to speak. So, are you glad you came this morning? Take heed how you hear, Jesus said. Now, let's close it up with this. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. We'll get there in a minute. Before we read this, let me remind you something over and over in the Bible in different places. It says, like, for example, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Remember that? Then Deuteronomy 11:18, lay up these my words in your hearts and your souls. Right? John 15:7, if my words abide in you if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So all those verses are talking about getting the word in you, getting the word in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. In other words, the word is to be planted in us.
Yes.
It's our responsibility to not just hear it, but get it in our hearts.
Yes.
You can see all that in all those verses. And so that's all our responsibility. That's not God's responsibility to do that. So whatever the written word says, or whatever the Holy Ghost says is his plan for our lives, it's our responsibility to steward that and guard that and make sure that gets into our heart and guides us and instructs us and makes our decisions for us.
Yes.
Amen? And so notice what it says here in Proverbs 6. As we read this, remember what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance.
Yes. Yes.
Remember that? Jesus said that. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Now, but run that through this passage in Proverbs 6. Look at verse 20 through 22. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Notice this. Bind them continually upon thine heart. That's a similar concept as get it in your heart. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. Look at this. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, here's what I wanted you to see. It shall talk with thee. Say that out loud. When the word, say, just repeat this. When the word
really gets into my heart,
it'll talk to me. What about the vision that was shared from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a congregation? When that gets in our hearts, it will talk to us. It'll talk to us on sleepy Sunday mornings. Amen. And listen, it will talk with you beyond the original hearing.
Yes.
Listen to me, I'm almost done. If it never is something that talks to us throughout our day, throughout our week, it never helps make our decisions for us or anything like that, then if it doesn't talk to us again until the next time in church when somebody mentions it, then guess what? Honey pie. It's not in you yet. He can only bring all things to your remembrance that is in you. That's
good.
Well, he brings things to my remembrance. If it gets in you, it'll talk back to you. You almost can say, he doesn't even have to bring it to your remembrance. It's just in you and it keeps talking to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's what's in your heart that talks to you and counsels you. It helps you make decisions. It forms your decisions. In other words, your decision-making processes. It'll counsel you, and it'll have a voice to the direction you go and the decisions you make.
Amen.
It's in me that God spoke to us to come here, pastor this church. I don't ever get up on Sunday morning and think, I think I'm going to sleep in. I should do that sometime just to show to people how important it is that they show up. Where's Pastor? Jocelyn and Brendan are still singing. Teresa says, sing again. I guess he's coming. I don't know. I should do that. It's only when something that you heard the pastor say comes back to you that, you know, that proves it's in you.
Amen.
It'll guide you. It'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of today?
Yes, sir.
I believe we got some help. By hearing, Jesus said that, Hebrews 3 says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. How does a person harden their heart? They hear, but they just don't, I'm not going to do anything with that. Well, somebody says it's a free country. Yeah, you're free to stay stuck spiritually. You're free to, right? Free country. You're free to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus is your Lord, really you're not. But you know what I mean. Free will. God giving you or I free will.
Yeah.
But sometimes he'll deal with us because he's good. He has something for us.
Yeah.
So he'll keep dealing with us. I want you to do this.
Yeah.
I know when he asked us to come pastor the church, I could not figure out in my mind how that could be connected to some of the things we're getting into now. I just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
but following the plan, it just takes you right into where what you had in your heart all along. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, if you hear his voice, is what he's saying there in Hebrews. Harden not your heart. How does a person harden their heart? They just don't respond. He deals with them again, don't respond. 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 Deals with them again. After a while, they can't even hear him. Well, why is God not talking to me? He is. It's not the loudness of his voice that has gone soft. It's the hardness of the heart that doesn't perceive. Hardened. I don't want to get to that place in my life. Amen. And we're not going to get to that place as Spirit of Faith Family Church. So what we're saying is the condition of our heart is our responsibility. Hallelujah. How is hearing expressed in responding? That's how it's expressed. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. And remember what we said Wednesday night. You can't plant a seed on concrete. People wonder why. Why am I not producing? Why am I not producing? Because of hearing and not doing. Hearing and not doing. Hearing and not doing. That's not us. That's a good chance to say amen. Let me go over here. Here's your chance to catch up to this side. That's not us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hearing and I want to stay in a place spiritually to where it's as if God whispers and I, oh yes, Lord. Because I stay sensitive. I don't want to get hardened where he's talking through a megaphone and brings a prophet along to smack me across the face and say, hey. And I go, huh? I want to recognize what God's saying to me. Amen. That's a safe place to be. It's a dangerous place to be to just, I mean, he's speaking through a megaphone. He's trying to get our attention and we're not getting it. That's dangerous because our safety is in hearing. Hearing what he wants us to do. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said in Luke 19. If we knew what was connected. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we've shared this as best we knew how, according to the way you gave it to me and the way. And Lord, we endeavored to do it with the heart that you gave it to us with a heart of compassion, with a heart of love for your plan. And Father, we receive it that way. We receive it in the gentleness of your Spirit dealing with us. Father, any among us that need to make an adjustment, any among us that need to, maybe this thinking has started to creep in that I mentioned this morning. Father God, may those adjustments be made right now in the name of Jesus. It just takes a moment to make an adjustment. And Father, if we need to talk to our families, heads of homes need to talk to families and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're following the plan of God. Father, I know you have a plan unique for every family that is in some ways, it's not connected to what I'm talking about this morning. But yet, Father, we're talking about the plan for all of us together. All of us together. You have a plan, not just for us individually, but all of us together. We say yes to that plan. We say we agree with that plan. And we say, Father, we're responding now to that plan with all of our hearts in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We thank you, Father, for the full harvest. Glory to God. The reward for faithfulness and obedience to this phase of our life, this phase of our congregation's life. Father, as we follow you and stay faithful, we thank you for all these things that we carry in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the paid-off church. We thank you, Father, for the next building. We thank you, Father, for the grace to reach more people in this city. We give you thanks for it, Father. Father, we say we're here. Here we are. Use us. We will say yes. We will respond. Hallelujah. any adjustments in our thinking that we needed. Father, we choose to make those adjustments now. We'll go back over this service and listen to it. And Father, the anointing that was on it to deliver it will still be there to help us walk out your plan faithfully and stay true to your plan. And Father, wherever you're leading us, we say yes. Yes, Lord, we will go. We will follow you in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for it. And all that agrees said,
amen.
Amen. Now, I think you know enough to know. I'm not talking about, well, Pastor, you know, this Sunday I had a family member graduate and I was there. Listen, we fully understand. You know, I'm not talking about stuff like that, or we went on vacation or whatever, you know, or somebody was just laid up or in the hospital. So that's not what I'm talking about. We understand that, correct? We're just talking about staying true whenever we, yeah, whenever our flesh doesn't. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah.